Blog Talk Radio.
Only a 45-minute show, and the reason why I'm only going to do a 45-minute show is because, well, one thing is because it's my brother's birthday. Oh, yeah, it's his birthday today. Happy birthday! Actually, it's my baby boy. Happy birthday, sweetheart. So that's the first reason why. Second reason why is because I am really today in one of those moods where I want to just, like, lay down and, like, just do nothing. You ever been in one of those moods that you just really just don't want to do a damn thing? Nada. Nada. That's today. That's how I feel about it today. I am just, like, in one of those moods. I don't know why I'm in one of those moods, but I am. But anyway, tonight's show is about grudges. Yes, grudges. Now, trust me, this show's been coming about for a while. I've been thinking about doing it. Me and a couple of friends, a couple of sisters have decided to do this show. So this show is going to be about grudges and why hang on to them. Also, it's going to be about anger management. Now, I know all of you are probably saying that I don't have an anger problem. I don't, because, yeah, I'm sugar. I don't have anger problems. But can someone get you to the point where you're so pissed off, where honestly you feel like slapping the living shit out of them? Can a person get you to that point? So if a person gets you to that point, then, yeah, then maybe you do need a little bit of anger management. Maybe you need a little bit of calmliness. Now, as far as I'm concerned, normally as a rule, I don't let people get me too pissed off. I normally allow people to get me to a point where, I'm sorry, I normally don't allow people to get me to a point where I'm pissed off. Normally what I'll do is I'll ignore them because, to me, I don't want anybody to take that vibe from me. I'm normally a pretty nice person, pretty laid back. So I try not to allow anybody to get to that point with me and get to my space where they piss me off. But every once in a while, the shit goes down like that. As a matter of fact, here, goodness, the first day of my show, someone pissed me off. I mean, to the point where, honestly, I think if I was near them, I would have fucking put my hands around their throat. That's just how much I got pissed off. And I should not allow anyone to take that much control over me while I'm being that pissed off. So I had to calm myself down, step back from the situation, realize who I was dealing with, realize the immaturity, realize the person, and I had to say, you know what? No, that's not you. So basically what I did was I turned it around, and I was like giddy and laughing about the whole situation after it was all over with, because you should not let anyone take that much power from you. No one should be able to piss you off to the point where you're losing control of who you are as a person, unless the person you are is a person that likes to choke the shit out of people. Now, if you're that type of a person, then hell yeah, go ahead, do your thing. But if you're normally a person that does not you know, does not allow yourself to be pushed to the edge, then why allow someone to push you to the edge? You really should not. You really should not. With that being said, I'm going to bring on my first. She's actually going to be, I had actually two guests with me today, but I guess only one's calling in. I'm hoping the other one will call in very, very soon. She's probably asleep. But anyway, let me bring on my guest host. My
Hi.
Dear. Hi, darling. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. This is my God baby, everybody. It's one of my God children. I only have three. I only want three because I have my God babies are like the best out of the best in Second Life. So I don't, you know,
yes.
I've had people ask me to be their godmother. I don't play that. I have to want to be your godmother. It's not you wanting to be my God child. I don't do that. Anyway, this is my God baby. She has her own clothing store. One day we're going to talk to her. But I think she called in because she is really waiting for this one, right? Because you said, I want to talk about this, dumb mommy. So, okay, let's go with it.
Okay, so I'm going to start by saying, hi, everybody. Happy Monday.
Okay.
So, what I had to say was, let's start at the beginning. So, I'm a Scorpio, and even though everyone says you should never go by astrological signs because they don't necessarily mean that you are a certain way, that's fine for most people. Me, I have this thing. I'm a very nice person. I speak to everybody. Unless I automatically don't like you when I meet you, then I'll nod. I'll say hello. That's about it, though. But when people do things to me, I'm not an angry person. So if you make me mad, I'll vent. But that's about it. I think I've only fought like twice in my whole life. But my issue is grudges. Let me tell you. My mom, when I was 7 years old, I was doing my homework, and I didn't know how to do subtractions, like not 4 minus 4, but as in when you have the big numbers lined up at the top and the little numbers at the bottom, I can do that. When you have the little numbers at the bottom or at the top and you have the big numbers at the bottom, I didn't know how to do that. So I would always flip the numbers, and of course I'd always get F, and I was really struggling, but my mom, being the super African that she is, didn't believe that I was incapable of doing something so simple. So she'd get really frustrated with me. Let me tell you, this woman bit me. She bit my leg.
So no way.
This day, she swears up and down. She swears up and down. She did not. My mom, she has a temper, but the difference between me and her is when she has a temper, she yells, she's done, she forgets. Me? No. You do something to me when I was 4. I will remember until I get a proper, and I mean proper apology. And I'm still going to remember it. I'm just not going to rub it in your face every 5 seconds like I would otherwise. I don't believe in, okay, let me not say I don't believe in it, because I promised my mommy and some other people I would work on my grudges. And I really have, technically. But
technically,
I don't know. It's hard for me to, like, technically I have. Technically. But it's really hard for me to, like, go with grudges because, I mean, of course there are petty things that people do, and I remember those, so I remember the good as well as the bad. It's just I kind of sort of feel like when somebody shows you who they are, yes, people have bad days. Yes, people make mistakes, but there are certain things that people can do to you that's not a mistake. It's a clear character flaw, and everyone has them, but it's up to you to decide whether or not you want to deal with that character flaw. And for me, I usually don't want to, so I don't. Unless I'll stop speaking to you as much, or I won't come around you as much, or I'll just talk less than I usually do. Not because I'm mad. I'm usually not mad. I just know now that you're not as good of a person as I thought you were. And, you know, that's just the way it's going to be, because I don't intend on forgiving or forgetting. I don't know.
Now, I can't see you holding on to a grudge long, because you just seem, maybe because of around me, but you seem to be so sweet. I can't see you holding on to a grudge.
Oh,
I know
God,
you
mommy,
say
you don't
do.
Learn. You don't learn. You will learn.
I'm going to learn today. I'm going to learn today. I can't see it. I can't.
No, I'm really nice, because I like giving everyone a fair chance, because, you know, even if I hear things about people, especially on SL, because, you know, on SL, people, you start off and you are walking down, or you are at some club with a girl, next thing you know, 5 Facebook posts later, you were
right.
at the club having sex, butt naked right. with a girl. Right. And, I mean, it's the same thing with the real world as well, but I feel like everybody deserves their own fair chance, and they can either subtract from, you know, their negative, their zero stance, or they can add to it. So for that, I give everybody the benefit of the doubt. Cause I'm not saying, I give most people the benefit of the doubt. I'm friendly, not stupid. But I feel like if I give you that trust and you betray it, to me, trust betrayed, it's, there's no real gaining it back for me. I can try, but because I know my mentality and the way I work, I just don't know how to do it. I'm not even going to pretend I don't know how to do it. Forgetting, that's not my strong point.
The only person that I honestly, and I know I'm going to admit to this, is going to be like, sugar, you got to be kidding. The only person I honestly have a grudge against, and this has been years, and you would think that I would be over it, but when my ex-husband cheated on me, mm-hmm. I still have the grudge, not to him, but to the chick. And I think the reason why I had the grudge to the chick is because when he was really trying to get away from her, she was, like, stalking, coming around, just doing, like, shit that was unnecessary to do. And this is real life. This isn't game. I've only been married one time in game to my husband,
right.
who I love dearly. But he was really trying to get rid of her. But she was pushing and pushing and pushing to the point where it was driving me crazy. I know you're going to laugh at this, but to the point where I honestly was contemplating getting rid of her. And I'm not just saying this. This is not just me saying it to be funny, but I honestly was thinking about getting rid of her because she would just show up out of the blue. Like when we're getting ready to go to work, she would just be on the other side in her car staring. Or when I would get off work and he would pick me up, she would be there. It was like really weird, weird shit. And to this day, I still hold a grudge against her, even though I'm no longer with the man, could give a shit about him. He could just fall over and drop dead right now, and I'm serious about that. But I still have a grudge against this woman because to me, it was like unnecessary bullshit that she took me to for 6 months. And I know I have to get over that. I have to somewhere, you know, grow from that. But I have a grudge against this woman. And I swear, because I honestly was contemplating, I was talking to a friend of mine who is about that life, and he was like, when do you want it done? And I had to actually grow up and go, wait a minute. What the fuck am I thinking? You know, what am I doing here? You know, this isn't second life. This is real life shit. But I still hold a grudge against this woman. Still to this day, still, what is this, years later, and I still hate her? Come on, God, baby. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing.
Don't feel bad. I hold a grudge against my father. And what's bad, that's what I wanted to speak on. I know I'm not the only one, just like, Sugar, technically you're not the only one who holds grudges like that. Because my mom and not my real-life mommy who adopted me and that stuff, my real-life mom who gave birth to me, that one, she was married to my father. And they were together, I think, 6 years before they had me. But my papa was Rolling Stone, I'm just going to be honest. And he had 2 kids before me, even though one of them he claims isn't his. But one good thing about my father, all of us look just like him, all of us.
Wow.
So you can't really say, that's not my kid. We'll just look at you like you're a damn liar. So he had 2. He only claims 1, which is my big sister, and she has spinal bifida. Then he had me. And then he cheated on my mom, and the woman he cheated on my mom with, who, you know, tried to drown me when I was 3, tried to poison me when I was 4, and when I came to America,
are you serious?
Was super nice to me. And turned, oh, no joke. My life story is so interesting. When we were coming to America, this is part of the reason. My mom didn't even tell me this story. I overheard her on the phone. This is how I know this story. When we were coming to America, for those who don't know, I'm Sierra Leonean, and when the Civil War started, my family was in politics. So they went for my grandpa. They tried to kill my grandpa, but because the houseboys that he had saved him.
And they just robbed him. They didn't kill him. So because my grandpa, my dad, some uncles of mine, a couple aunts were in politics, my mom went and begged him. And my mom is proud. My mom doesn't beg anybody. My mom begged this man to take me to America because he's an American citizen because he went to Rutgers University. My father told my mom he can't bring me to America because he has his family to worry about. My little brother, my baby sister was just born at this time, I believe, and my stepmom. So that's why he couldn't bring me to America. He had to worry about his family. Now, if you're an American citizen, you can bring certain people to America. Just like if you do the lotto, which a lot of people don't know, when you're a refugee, they have a lottery for you to come to the States or go to the UK or wherever to seek refuge. Well,
oh, wow. See, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so if you win the lottery, you can put whoever you want to on there to take to America with you. He didn't want to take me. So you left me in a country where, I don't know who watched Blood Diamonds, but you left me in a country where people were burning people's houses with people in them. People were forced to put, there's a thing called Matsaoro and Masapenso, and it's like a big wooden colander kind of, except it's stronger, and it's a big stick, and you like beat peppers and onions. They would make women put their newborn babies in there and beat them to death. Otherwise,
oh my God.
And you know, if they didn't, they would kill them. It's like it's a kill-kill situation, like no matter what, they're going to kill you. So he left me in that position. And, you know, my mom's whole thing is like, oh, well, the Quran says, because we're Muslim, the Quran says, you know, you forgive. And your father, because in the Quran it says forgive your father, respect your father three times. And then it says respect your mother. And a part of respecting your parents is forgiveness, because you can't go to God and ask for forgiveness if you can't forgive. But you see, my mom can forgive that. Me?
You cannot.
I'm sorry. No, you did that to me and to my mom. Then we came to America. This man didn't do nothing. And I know I'm not the only person. Let me not say I can't forgive it, because I did forgive it. When we've been in America, I had surgery. A lot happened to me. And this man called me, I want to say when I was growing up, all of five times on his own. Okay, three times on his own, too, because one of his big brothers forced him to. I used to do the calling because my mom would tell me, you need to call your father because he's your dad. He gave birth to you. I don't care. For that alone, you need to be thankful because you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him, even if he hasn't done anything else. So for that alone, I would call him. What happened? I think last year he got sick. And he was in the hospital, and he had intestinal issues. And I could have been evil and not called, even though I knew what was going on with him. But, you know, I speak to my little sister and my brother, who, by the way, he told how he sends me money and he buys me plane tickets to go see them, and I just don't want to. So I could have been evil, but there's no point. Because at the end of the day, if he were to have died, I'd still be mad.
Right.
And it'll be like, what are you mad for? Because he's not even here anymore, and he doesn't care because he's dead. So for that alone, and it was selfish, I understand, but for that reason alone, when I realized that it holds me back from so much, because it's like in the back of your head for you to constantly be thinking there's somebody in this world who gave birth to you who doesn't want you. People, I know a lot of girls who don't have fathers, a lot of guys, for that thought to constantly weigh in your head, that's a heavy load. You can tell yourself you don't care, but just to know in the back of your head somebody who gave birth to you doesn't even want you, that's tough. So I called him, and I told him, I don't feel like he loves me. I don't feel like he cared about me, and I feel like he betrayed me, and I feel like he left me for dead. And this man told me, I'm his daughter, and he loves me, and one day me and him are going to have a talk about it face-to-face. You know them bullshit lines that people give you? He gave me one of those. But it's kind of like after that, I'm not mad about it anymore. I'm kind of indifferent. I do feel some type of way when he calls me, and I know the only reason he's calling me is because my mom has called him to call me. But at the end of the day, I'm starting to learn that that's just him, And according to my mom, that's not the person he used to be. But, I mean, it's fine with me now because I know that's just who he is. But the one thing I wanted to say is a lot of people have the whole father issue or husband issue. It makes no sense to hold on to it because, technically, the person's irrelevant. Like, you lived your life, you were born, you had birthdays, you even got, some people got married, you graduated high school, you graduated college, the person wasn't there. They affected you slightly, but if you could graduate high school, some people, you graduate college, clearly they're not relevant enough for you to still be mad. Like, it doesn't make, that's the only thing that I'm learning. That's why I said, technically, I am learning to forgive. But there's other things I hold on to, like, there's kids who used to bully me. When I tell you, to this day, I see certain stories about these kids, and I fall out laughing. I see stories about this one is pregnant. This one had AIDS, and Shivy, you would not believe I was dying laughing. Like, you,
no.
I felt like I was in a Kevin Hart movie. Yes, it was that serious.
God, baby.
I felt like God was like,
I'm going to stop you right now. I'm going to stop you. We're going to come back. Give us 1 minute. I'm going to put. I can't believe my godchild just told me. She was laughing at somebody who had AIDS. I can't believe you just told me that. We're going to be back after this quick break. I'm going to talk to you, little girl. Back. This is Sugar Alicious Me. Our topic for tonight is grudges. How long should you hold on to them if you hold on to them? I just confessed something that no one has known, but a few people, handful, to all my audiences about how I still have a really big grudge and against my ex-husband's affair. Yeah, I had to admit it. And my godchild just admitted to me that she laughed at a person that used to make fun of her when she was a little girl about them having AIDS, which I'm like so done with her about this, but she's being truthful and she's being honest, and you know, that's what the show is about. Also, we have another caller, is Isis, who was supposed to be on the show earlier, and she finally did call in, so I'm going to put those two back on air with us, and we're going to discuss a little bit more about this laughter. She thought she was in a Kevin Hart movie. I can't believe I'm hearing this. Isis, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Did you hear my godchild? Did you hear that?
Yes, I heard a lot of the things that she was saying. And I forgive you for keeping me on hold for all this long time.
I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. Let me put her back on. I'm so sorry. But you know, once my godchild gets started, she is hard to stop.
Yeah,
once she starts
talking,
it's like I kick back and it's her show.
The thing about this whole
It's her show.
Yeah,
when she starts, I'm like, yeah, there we go.
The whole grudges topic is so, it's something that's so easy for people to relate to. You know, when you think about grudges and when you think about, you know, all the things that tie into that. I was so prepared for this show because I, you know, had the definition of grudges and the definition of forgiveness and all the things that you need to do. You know, it's just something that, you know, you just go from the hip for, you know, when you think about grudges, because I share similar experiences where you were talking about the different things that, you know, involved your ex or what have you. And then when she was talking about being bullied and those kinds of things, and it's very, it's funny how grudges, they play on to different things. Being bullied is it's just something that's a hot topic. It's been a hot topic for a very long time, and people don't want to, you know, really identify with it. You know, ever since I was a child growing up, people were being bullied, and I know that, you know, my mom back whenever she was growing up, God rest her, that she knew of people that were bullying and that type of thing. But you know, when you think about how do you get over that kind of stuff, because I was listening to a lady a couple of weeks ago just discuss how she remembered some things from her childhood from being bullied and how she still held a grudge with those people or against those people that bullied her. And,
right,
you know, it's deep-seated. You know, that stuff is deep-seated. And letting go and being able to let go and forgive someone, it's easier said than done, because even though you say it with your mouth, you know, that's an inner something that you know, you have to deal with. And I'm not Yala Vasant, but I'm pretty sure this is going to help fix somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you have a grudge against someone for no apparent reason at all, you haven't bullied them or, you know, you just don't like them, bullying, well, not bullying, let me just get away from that. I'm not even going to use that term anymore, but holding a grudge against someone, one of the things that was so interesting in the definition of a grudge, it was that it's like being jealous of someone, or you know, it arrived, it's to feel resentment or be envious of someone else's success or their possessions, et cetera, what have you. You know, and I was like, oh, my goodness, even though you know what a definition of a word is, whenever you look at it and then you actually kind of put it together with the actual actions of another person, you go, wow, could that person be jealous, or could that person be envious? Or could this actually be the reason why they're holding a grudge against me?
That sounds weird,
of that
though.
Nature, you know.
Why would they put envious? I mean, I don't think she's envious of the, you know, of her father. I think she's.
Well,
I think she wants. You know what I'm saying?
No.
I think
not what
she
I'm
said
saying.
People
what
who
I
have
said
grudges
was when
for
I
no
reason. It was talking about to feel resentment. It has nothing to do with her. In this regard, I'm just talking about the definition of the word grudge. And, you know, in her regard, I relate to what she's saying, because she felt angry because of the ill treatment that her father gave her. And I can relate to that because I've had some ill treatment that was given to me by some real-life family members, and it's kind of hard to let go because even though my mom is no longer with me, even though my father is no longer with me, and these people are still here, and I have to deal with them because they're still a remaining part of my family, it sucks.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not resentful of them, but I look at the way that this definition plays into that for me is because I realize that they have resentment towards me, and they've held grudges towards me, which made me in turn say, this is the way I feel about you. And I can understand the way that she was talking about the way that her dad did her and the things that transpired, and how, you know, he just told lies because he didn't want to deal with anything, or, you know, what have you, dealing with her. I mean, you know, When you think about a parent doing that to someone else, that gets a bit, you know, I'm like mom, you know, I'm with you on the bandwagon. I want to go with you and fire up some people, you know, because it just makes me feel like that. But the whole the whole grudge thing, being able to let it go, that's got to be difficult. That's got to be very, very hard to let go in her situation, in her regard, because all of the things that she's been dealing with, all of the things that she's been holding in because she hasn't had a chance to release, I'm hoping that this will help her, you know, to be able to move on and to move forward, because that's heavy. That's heavy stuff.
I'm sorry. I'm still, I'm not even, I hope this doesn't offend as many people as my animal statements did, but I'm still going to say, Sugar, I know you must be, your heart just must have broken when I told you I laughed at somebody having AIDS, but, you know, first of all, I think dark comedy is hilarious. Let's start with that. So to me, I find irony hilarious, no matter how good or bad. I'm the one who goes to, like, soccer games, and when somebody gets injured, I laugh. I don't know why, because I swear people's faces when they initially get hurt, the shock is funny. But, the trauma afterwards isn't. But these people, like, growing up, I've always been made fun of. It's never been, like, a time when I wasn't. I think high school actually was when it stopped because I started talking. Because before I was really soft-spoken, I'd let people do what they wanted. But when I moved schools to seventh grade, these people were horrible. I would get spit on. They'd push me downstairs, push me upstairs, knock my books out of my hand. And this kid, he would, like, do the most. When I tell you the most, have you ever had somebody go out of their way to mess with you? Like, all the way out of their way. That's how bad it was. So for me to hear that this fool has AIDS, and it's not because his parents had AIDS, it's because of his own stupidity, I felt like God just answered my prayers. I don't care who thinks that's horrible. But for a 13-year-old to have to undergo something for no reason at all, that's unfair to me. So for you to not have AIDS, I'm pretty sure it's not punishment. I'm pretty sure it's just your bad choices. But to me, I feel like God just avenged me. So I can now laugh at you. I understand you don't laugh at other people's pain, but let's face it. He didn't help me when I was in pain. He laughed at me when I was in pain. So I can do the same dang thing. That's how my grudges work.
Well, even to holding grudges for me, I realized that early on in my life that by me giving someone else power over my emotions was giving them power over me. And for me holding a grudge was giving them power over me. So the way that I had to get my life back, I had to forgive them no matter how it hurt. No matter how I interacted with them, and it was just painful, and I would wait until I left or got by myself, and I just cried because it just hurt so bad being around these individuals. You know, I don't laugh at anyone else's pain. Even when I'm being avenged, I don't laugh at someone else's pain because I realize that, you know, that's just not who I am. That's not the way that I deal with what it was that I endured. I just realized that I had to give myself power over my emotions, and I had to let them know that they didn't have any power over me. So I forgave them. And being able to smile whenever you want to cry, being able to talk to someone after they've, you know, done wrong to you, being able to forgive a person for knowing that they have done you wrong and you can still love them in spite of, it's maturity. It's a spiritual journey, and it's not something that you can do overnight. No matter how many times people say how easy it is or you just have to do it, it's a process, and everybody isn't at the same place. So in saying that,
I don't think I can ever forgive her. And the reason why I don't think I could is because it was, as Mom said, a person just does the most and go out of their way to make your life horrible. Now, in Second Life, I've learned to forgive people because, for the simple fact, most everybody that's in Second Life that do shit like that is kind of off anyway. So I kind of like just consider the source. Like I said, the first day of me coming back, which was June 1st, I had an altercation with an ex-family member, and the bitch really did piss me off. But I stopped, realized who I was dealing with, and as soon as I realized who I was dealing with, it was like her opinion and what she said didn't matter. So it was like, fuck you, I'm on. And I haven't thought about it until I started talking about it today, for the simple fact it was like, since the discussion was grudges, that's how it is. But it's sad to say I don't think I could ever get over this, because every once in a while, I'll admit, I'll even go to her Facebook page just to see how she looks now, because I used to go, what the fuck did he see in this bitch? Not that I'm a beauty queen, but to me, I know I look better than her. And I'm thinking, what the fuck, did he see in her? I just could not understand it. And that bothered me a lot, a lot. So I go to her Facebook and see how she's not as pretty as she was, or how bad she's doing. And I do. I'm like, good for her. Fuck her. And I wish I could get over it. I wish I could move past it. But it has, and I know that she does have control over me, because I'm sure she's not looking at my Facebook. I'm sure she could give a shit what's going on with me. I'm sure she doesn't care one way or the other. But here I am after years and not even being with the man. I'm still looking at her and like with anger, and I don't know why. And I want to get over it. No, I don't. I don't want to get over it.
Right.
I don't necessarily
what you're feeling is targeted towards her. You were hurt by the individual, and that's a difference. That's what I'm saying. There are things that cause grudges, and I'm not saying that it's legitimate, but it's understandable. And I'm no guru, like I said earlier. I'm not Ian Levison or however she says her name. I ain't here to fix nobody's life, but I'm hoping that this can help some people to move on, because I'm not gonna sit here and say that no one has, everybody has been at the place where you are. Everybody has had some resentment towards someone, whether it be an ex and a girlfriend, an ex-lover, or, and you always, we as women, we always have this thing in the back of our minds. Well, what makes her better than me? What makes her, tight knot? Went into the whole relationship. My ex from SL, if I were to see him on the side of the road, on fire, I don't think I would pee on him because of some of the things that I had to endure for no apparent reason at all. And, even though in SL, these people don't really know you per se, except for what you let them in or what you tell them. And whenever you let your guard down and you actually let someone in and they get to know you and they know everything about you and you feel vulnerable, and then you have this person with all of this information about you out there that just had, an ulterior motive, it makes you feel some type of way. And then all of a sudden you start thinking, well, you know what? I want them. I'm out for blood now, because this person had no reason doing this to me, or this person had no reason being a part of my life. But it was a learning experience, and that's the way I took it. It was a learning experience, and it was something that was hard. I had to endure that. I had to cut off all avenues of connection, but I felt better about that because I know that it wasn't on my behalf. It was something that was not something that ISIS initiated. This was not something that, I had responsibility doing, because I'm not responsible the way that people treat me, but I am responsible for how I respond to them.
Yeah.
And so in order for me to be able to deal with things on an everyday basis and keep it together, I realized that, and I realized that individual, whomever they may be, they're already suffering. If they're not as pretty as they used to be, sugar, if they're not as together as they used to be, even if they, are doing poorly, or if they are suffering from a disease, or if they're suffering from something else. I heard somebody say just a couple of days ago, you can't win when you're dirty. And it doesn't matter what it is that you think you're doing to avenge somebody else. I mean, you can't win when you're dirty. When you're doing stuff underhanded, when you're not doing something on the up and up, it doesn't matter what you think you're getting. It'll catch you in the long run. So, you know, we'll talk later. You and I, we'll talk later about all this other stuff. But, you know, I understand. I understand exactly where you are. I do.
I don't. And I don't, Godmommy. I'll tell you why. I think you are entirely, and this is a pot calling kettle black. Let me just acknowledge this before I say my next statement. I think you are entirely too beautiful
right there.
Inside and out. I'm just saying. I think you're entirely too beautiful inside and out to go to any other next chick's page to see how she looks now, why she looks like that, this. I understand to some extent, because I've never been married, how she ruining your marriage can make you feel like, what the hell does she have that I didn't have? Why would he do that to me? But I honestly feel like with, you know, my zero psychology degrees, that displaced anger. And I feel like to some extent you're mad at yourself the more you look at her page, the more it is you're putting it on yourself. And frankly, Sugar, I'm going to put it like this. If you were still married, you wouldn't be on the level with your current boo thing husband, lovey-dovey, as you are today. So sometimes, once again, calling kettle black, sometimes it's for a good thing. Granted, he hurt you, he embarrassed you, he did all kinds of things to you, but that was good for you because you didn't need that around you. It's better for you to find it out then than for you to be in the same, because there's people who are in that same damn situation today just because they made vows and they don't want to break them.
You got a point, and I have the better by having my virtual. Even though he's virtual, we still real life. But I'm blessed to have him. He's, you know, no one can compare. So you're right. You're right, God, baby. I really need to get past it. I do. I know I do. Before you go into your next statement, everyone, we only have 2 minutes, but we're going to still talk. I don't know why I did 45 minutes, not an hour. We're going to still be talking, so you can actually hear it later. I'm just letting everybody know. Come Wednesday, we will be talking about, I'm sorry, come Thursday, we'll be talking about Paula Deen. If you two want to join me for this discussion, you definitely can. We're going to be talking about Paula Deen and the recent media awakening about her. So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to be doing my virtual talk show, hopefully by July 1st. Hopefully, fingers crossed, toes crossed, hopefully by then. But otherwise, you guys know I love you. Thanks so much for listening. But we're going to keep discussing this. So, like, again, if you want to hear it later, you can. It'll be in the archives. But go ahead with that, baby.
Oh, but I was just saying, I think you're way too fabulous. And even you, the reason I like you, Isis, aside from the fact that you're always mean to me, but I know secretly you love me. I feel like I just really can't see you holding a grudge. Just like Godmommy said, I can't see you holding one because you remind me of me. You just sit there and look at somebody and you say, I don't like you, because I do that to people. Mm-hmm. And it's funny to me when people laugh when you tell them you don't like them, because a lot of times you're not joking. You're so serious. Me, you never told me you don't like me. You just mess with me. But
You, Bomb, let me stop you right now, because if I did not like you, and I know the Sugar has come to know me, and she knows when I don't like a person, I don't deal with them at all. I don't say anything to them. For me to even acknowledge you, you know that you're not on my FHIT list. You're not. So if you have any kind of connection with me, or if I say, ugh, or yuck, or whatever, that means that you're still on my like list. You know,
I ain't got no questions. I know you love me. I've got questions.
Sit down, little girl. Sit down. You need to have questions right about that. She needs a whooping is what she needs.
I sure do. You go with me?
Oh, my God.
She needs a whooping, exactly what she needs.
No,
I mean,
she doesn't.
I don't disagree.
She was. You don't understand. This little girl was a mess. Oh, my Lord. She was running with scissors all over the place. She was. Bob was actually, I remember, Bob remembers when I had my church.
Oh my god!
She used to come. I remember whenever she came over. I had a virtual church on SL, and Bob, she said, "You're gonna babysit me for the day." I'm like, I don't know what to do. Have any children? I don't know what to do. And so she did come over, and we spent all these hours together. You remember that, Bob?
Yes. And you would watch me and threaten my life and tell me go sit down somewhere and tell me get out your face. And I come back and say, I love you. And you tell me get the hell out of my face. That's how I knew you loved me.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but, you know, it wasn't that. She's embellishing it a little bit because I didn't use profanity. But, you know, try me now. Okay. Tonight. But. The whole thing that I'm saying about that is that wasn't a legitimate grudge. That wasn't anything that has anything to do with grudges. But fast forward into what I wanted to say to my sister, to Sugar, just looking at someone, being curious about what they look like now and how they're doing, because this person was they were a factor. They hurt you. They had something to do with you feeling that pain. And I understand, you know, I didn't say that I condone, but I understand. And
right.
Being able to understand where a person is coming from is the first step in being able to help them deal with whatever their issue is. And I understand that, you know, that person that you were married to had no business being a part of your life. They were there
right.
just for a little while just to give you the experience that you got, regardless to whether it was a good, bad, or indifferent experience. They were there
right.
to do whatever it was that they did, and now I'm glad that they're out of your hair and out of your life and, you know, made room for the person that was supposed to be a part of your life. They gave room to that person, and you've had growth since then. You have love like you've never had it before, and I'm glad because there are so many people that expire before they experience that real love. They expire before they've had an opportunity to experience what it is that you have or what you
right.
and angel have. So I'm grateful that, you know, all of that has happened and that all of that other stuff is in the past. But if I hear you talking about you been to this ex chick's page one more time, I'm coming for you. Okay.
Oh my God. I
have a confession.
She's a
non-baby.
I don't even know who she is, but see this address because I want to go see her now. You piqued my curiosity. You know we ride or die together, so whatever it is that you're feeling, you know I'm feeling the same thing.
I'm rolling.
Yeah. So, you know.
Oh, Lord.
I did
whoever she is, she had no clue that karma was going to be the witch that she is. She didn't have any clue that she was even going to have all of this. Whatever we're getting ready to do, I can't even say on the air because I don't want to give anybody anything to use against me in court. I'm watching a George Zimmerman trial. This is on another note. So, but, yeah, we're going to discuss this at our leisure whenever we're not really on the air or when there's not a paper trail. Anyway.
I have a confession. I did something out of spite and my grudge and I guess anger.
Uh-oh.
So I guess it ties in. So I had my launch party on Saturday, right? Thank you guys for coming, by the way. And, okay, my mom had an issue on SL before she had me. And it was for old family. And, you know, everyone's been through the SL reel once or twice when you were with people and then they turned on you. For whatever reason.
Right.
And she had been that there. Issue. And me being who I am, there's very few things you can do to make me mad or to make me not speak to you, but messing with my mom is one of them. You don't mess with her. I don't care if she was wrong. I don't care if me and her fight 24/7. You don't mess with my mama. So, her old daughter, I told my mom before, I said, Mommy, I know my story's new. I know I'm just starting out. And I know I can use all the customers I can get. But when I tell you, Mommy, I don't want this girl on my sim. I don't want this girl in
right.
my stores. I don't want this girl in my clothes. I don't give a damn if she's blogging it or not. I don't want her near me.
So I look on my list at the launch party, and I see her name. What do? Eject her and ban her. I let it go. Girl, this is my boss asking me questions. I want to understand, why do you think it's okay for you to ask me questions if I ejected and banned you? Do you pay by tier? No, you don't. Do you help with my tier? No. Do you come here? No. So why does it matter if I ejected and banned you? Please tell me. Why do you need a reason? Just know that you were ejected and banned. The end. So I left that alone, even though she was giving my box, trying to get feisty. Then her cousin walked up to me and asked me questions. I don't understand why I'd be answering you if I didn't answer her, but okay. Then I look up. That was just one of those days. I look up, and I see this name. And there was a dude when I was on IMV who I used to talk to. And because I like being in denial when I like somebody, I can slightly take blame. But me and him had gotten past the whole denial phase. We were good. I come find out this dude, in his free time, likes to hit up my mom. And I found out from my mom, likes to hit up my mom and tell my mom how he likes her, how he wants to date her, how he wants to take her out on a day. He wants to buy her a plane ticket to fly out with her. He wants to give her flowers. He wants to give her candy. He wants to buy he didn't give a whole list of what he wants to do for her. And for me to open up to people, it is hard. So if I just open up to your monkey behind, and that's what you do? Oh, no. I was livid. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to keep it cute. Just going to say what I have to say, and I'm going to delete him on SL and on IMVU, and that's it. And that's what I did. So for me to look up and see this black individual on my Sims in my store, I was like, keep it cute. Okay. I get in his box. I say, why are you here? Oh, me and my friend CP'd me. I can go wherever I want in every country. I'd really like you to leave. I was polite. I'd really like for you to leave. That's not a way to ask somebody, so I think I'm going to stay. I said, excuse me, Mr. Sigma, is that you? He's like, yeah. I was like, okay, I'm telling you, I don't want you at my party, so I would like for you to go.
Right.
Then he starts telling me about how a bitch this and salty that, and I'm going to give you some water so you can be less salty and this. And
I was like, we were at, because, I mean, we were at your party the majority of the time.
Yeah, a lot of people, that's why I was quiet. You notice I wasn't talking often. So I was like, okay. And he was like, if you want me gone, you need to boot me. Oh, word? Okay, 1 second. So I ejected and banned him.
So being polite to him and telling him he wanted to be an asshole.
Clearly that wasn't enough.
How ignorant is that?
But he didn't know who I was because he doesn't know me on this account. And so he gets in my box and starts calling me some more names. And I'm like, look. And I called him some choice phrase words. And, you know, the nicer ones were like, you know, liar, skeezer, you know, the nice ones along with the mean ones.
Real nice ones.
And then he continues. And I was like, you know what? You're talking all this, but you're still in my box. You're calling me names. You don't know who I am. So I suggest you just get out of my box and we'll call it a day. And that's what happened with that. But I do hold a real big grudge. I'm not jealous. I am slightly resentful just because, like I said, I don't open up to a lot of people, and that's why I hold my grudges. For the simple fact that I don't open up to that many people, if I trust you enough to open up to you, and that's the kind of stuff you do, because I take in a lot. People do a lot of things to me, and I can deal with a lot. But certain things you just don't come back from. Like, I don't see how you can try to talk to my mom while you're still talking to me and think we can have a friendship. Like, what?
Unbelievable.
Well, I'm going to share this because this happened to me in real life, and it happened some years ago, but there was a little bit of resentment there on my behalf because I had a childhood friend. She and I were friends, I would say, since middle school. And we kind of grew up together. We would visit each other. She moved here from New York, actually. And when I say here, you know, where I live, she moved. And I would go and visit her over the summer whenever we were out of school. Her family knew me and accepted me and acknowledged me as being their little sister's best friend. I was, you know, cool with the entire family. And every time they had family functions or whenever they had different get-togethers or things like, you know, that required for guests to come over, I was always there either assisting or I was there because I was a part of their circle. right. Vice versa with me, with the family and that thing. But I was dating this guy, and he was just not good for me. You know, at some point when you're dating someone, you kind of realize, okay, this is going to be a toxic relationship, so what do? You get out of the relationship before it gets any worse. So we ended up going our separate ways, what have you, but he was still trying to pursue me. He wasn't wanting to let go of the relationship and that kind of thing. And I understand, you know, I'm a great chick. No, I'm playing. Anyway, he was still trying to pursue me. And he would even go over to my best friend's house just to tell her, you know, I need for you to get in touch with Isis. I need to talk to her. I just need for you to get, you know, away. She won't talk to me. She won't acknowledge me. She won't say anything to me. I'm having problems. Can you help me?
Oh, geez.
It was like, well, Isis, you need to give him another chance. You need to do this. And I'm like, look, if you're really my friend, if you're really my ride or die, you already know how I feel about stuff. And when I draw my line in the sand, that's it. Nothing can erase
right.
that. I'm done. And so when I said I was done, that doesn't give you the
permission
path
to date him.
Oh,
girl.
And date him. That doesn't give you the path to marry him. It doesn't. Well, it doesn't. It doesn't give you the right to do that. And so even when I found out that she was dating him, that they eventually got married, you know, I'm like, I'm in a relationship with her still because we're friends. And we have a mutual love and respect for one another. But I wasn't ready for her marrying my ex. And she calls me one day out of the blue, and she goes, Isis, are you busy? And I'm like, yes. Well, I just wanted to talk to you. Please don't hang up on me. I just want to know if we can get past this and if we can still be friends. I said, hold on a minute. And I clicked over, and I never clicked back. So I'm thinking that 20 years later, she's still holding on, waiting for my response. Because,
hold on a minute.
I just, you know, she's probably still sitting there with the phone playing the Jeopardy theme, waiting
is
for me to click back over to ask the question. But it's just a code. For me, I always honor the unsaid or the unspoken code. I always honor that. I never date my my sisters or my friends. If they even had an interest in this particular individual, you know, that's a no-go for me. That's always been a no-go.
Is she still married to him?
She's still married to him. They're still married. They've had problems. He was a cheater. He was a liar. And they still have. They
already knew that he dated you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Said it again?
I said she already knew that because he was one of those when y'all were dating.
Oh, yeah. She was there, but see, this is another show. This is spinning off into another whole show about when you tell or when you release information about your relationship to your besties or to your others that you can't trust. You know, the people that you can't trust. You know what I'm saying? And that'll be another show. Who are the people in your neighborhood? Anyway, what my whole thing about bringing that up is there was some resentment towards her because I couldn't understand how she felt like it was okay. Well, you're not with him anymore, so if you don't want to be with him and he wants to be with me, why does he want to be with you? He wants to be with you to try to get back at me. He did exactly what he intended to do, and you helped him. You helped him. You abated and helped him. Because he was trying to get my attention and trying to get back at me, thinking that if me and you were still cool and he was married to you, he'd still get an opportunity to come around to me. Are you crazy? You know, when you actually think about the warped sense of patheticism that goes on in people's minds as to how, what will they do? They'll do anything to get back, or they'll do anything to get next to, or they'll do anything to get your attention. You know, it's beyond me. But yeah, she helped him with that, and you know, Whenever I would see the two of them, you know, I'd still speak, and I was always together. And, yeah, I know I look better than she does. Yeah, I know that I'm doing a lot more stuff than she is doing. So, you know,
now,
that.
I'm going to interrupt you real quick because I have a question for you because I'm listening to you talk. Do you feel that you still have a grudge against her?
I let that go. I had to let it go because when her mom died, I went to her. I told her that I was sorry that her mom passed. I told her that if there was anything that I could do, because I had a relationship not only with her, but I had a relationship with the family. So I felt like it was my obligation to be the bigger person.
I need to learn from y'all.
You know, sometimes people don't know how to be the bigger person. They don't know how to mature. And I let her know that that whole factor was nothing to me. I took the power away from her because I knew that she wasn't supposed to have that power over me. So I had to take the reins back and say, let me drive my own car, boo-boo. You need to move over here on the side. And just let me let you see where I'm going with this. I'm the bigger person. I have moved on. I have evolved. And you're probably still sitting over there playing patty cake with your little rag dolls or whatever, thinking that we're still in middle school, we're still in high school. No, I'm grown. I'm a grown woman. You know, I put my garment on. So, no, I did not still have the resentment towards her. I was pissed more so that she let me down. I was disappointed that she let me down because I thought we were like sisters. I thought we were besties, and I was disappointed. But it goes back to one of the coin phrases, when a person shows you who they are, believe them. And, you know, even though there were warning signs, even though my mom used to say things that would kind of make me think, she never intervened with my friend choices, but she would always give me advice as to how to deal with certain situations, you know, and how to deal with certain people. And that's one of the things that I missed the most, you know, from my mom being here, because she was able to kind of help me navigate through those types of things and let me know that in order to be a woman, this is what you're going to have to do, because these people are not as important as you're making them out to be. The lady that, you know, took your husband, she's not the woman that you are, and she's not as important as you're making her out to be. So don't give her the power over you to go to her page, to look at anything that she's doing, because whatever she's doing, it still won't hold a candle to what you did back in the day. You probably done more stuff and forgotten it than she'll ever do.
I don't look at what she's done per se as her success, because that's a 0% as far as her being successful. She's nothing. I go honestly to see how she looks. She's been divorced twice already. So, yeah, I get a chuckle out of that. I do. I get a laugh out of that. She's basically looks like shit. I get a laugh out of that. I'll admit to that. You know, but as far as her success, no. I never look at her success as far as, you know, what she has or anything like that, because I already know that as far as that goes, she can't come anywhere near me. That's, you know, but I do look at her. You know, as you know, as far as her relationship, how it's gone, and you know, she basically had taken someone else's husband and had married him, and they were together for 2 years, and I via her post, he was gone, and then she got married again, and they were together for like a year, and via her post, he left her. So I'll admit to that. I get a chuckle out of it because I'm thinking to myself, he was probably married to. And that's just the person she is. But you're right. I need to focus more on getting away from that because it does give her a sense of power over me, and I need to get away from that. I really do because I know if it came down to it, you know, she's not looking at my shit. She could give a shit one way or the other because I'm just
among the many women that she's probably fucked over with someone else's, you know, husband. And the fact that I do have the person in my life now, she actually kind of did me a favor because it made me no longer trust him. And it kind of made me, like, fearful of my life for a little while because if you're walking out the door and every time you're walking out, somebody's, like, right there, that kind of gives you a little bit of a fear. And I'm normally not a scary person, but you don't know. To me, a person that does something like that, you don't know what their intent is or what or how far they'll go to get rid of you. So that's probably why, in my mind, I was thinking, I need to get rid of her because, honestly, I didn't know what was going on with her. She was just showing up all over the place. And I shit you not, we went to his friend's wife, his friend's sister's baby shower. She showed up there, and no one knew who she was. That was, and I was like, what the fuck? And he's like, I don't know what's wrong with her. I'm like, you, what the fuck did you do to this bitch? Because you sure ain't never did it to me. Why am I acting like this? What the fuck did you do to her? Because honestly, that right there got to me when she just showed up. And no one knew who she was. They were like, who is this? You know, who is she? And I'm thinking, no one really knows who she is. Because I'm thinking the first thing is that he brought her with him around him at one point. But that was not the case. She followed us there. She walked in with a gift. This chick is psycho.
So why, if I may ask, why even bother? Because, how do I put it? I have a bit of an issue, too. Kind of like Isis' issue with the friend. It's no longer the friend. But that's another show for a different day. But because I had an issue for the longest time checking Facebook to see, to understand, but that was a closure issue. But my question to you is, because you kind of have closure, I think. I'm not sure. I don't know the whole story. But whether she's cute or ugly, miserable or happy, stupid or smart, that in no way will contribute to you doing anything. She's going to get married, she's irrelevant. She's going to go for a loan, she's irrelevant. She's going to get a raise, she's still irrelevant.
True.
So my question is, why even, it's kind of like you're looking back. I mean, let's put it like this. Sugar, when you're a 10, you will never look down the lane at a 2 to see where they're at because they're not coming for your spot. They're a 2. Where are they going to go? 3?
Well, I'm going to just to both of y'all. My RL and my SL, they kind of intermingle, but I'm a different chick in RL. And had she been one of those persons to just kind of show up, everywhere that I am, you know, you want to be like, you want to be everywhere I am? Okay, tell me exactly what it is that you want. I'm going to give you exactly what you're looking for. Okay? Give you exactly what you're looking for. Toe to toe, you know, you can't stand, you know, you can't stand up against me. I would have had to whoop up on that a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a 1-2.
I don't know. Now that I sit here and talk about it, and because, like I said, it's been something that I've been doing on the DL. Because even my you know, even my husband doesn't even know. You know, my virtual husband doesn't
now
even know that I do shit. Now he knows. And the thing is that now that I think about it, now that I'm talking about it out loud, I'm thinking, what the fuck is wrong with me? You know, now I'm looking at it like, really. Why am I doing this shit? And I think it's because I honestly didn't close that door. And I was looking back. I was looking back because I was questioning myself. You know, what did I do wrong as a wife? You know, what did I do wrong as his friend, as a person who, you know, was there for him? What did I do wrong? And now that I look at it, I'm thinking, I didn't do shit wrong. Only thing I did was just allow him to be the asshole. He's going to be, because he's an asshole, now he's going to always be an asshole. He can't even speak to me right now. He hates me so much. But
well,
now that I talk about
it
out loud, I realize that it's something that I can close my door on. It's something that I can now walk away from and go, okay, that's in my past. She's no longer relevant. Because now, because like I said, she actually did me a favor. The more I think about it, I'm like, what do I have now as to what do I had before with him? With nothing. With my husband and I have a friendship. You know, yes, we're virtual, true, but we kind of like pull outside of in real life. But this man is good to me, because he, when my computer went down, he sent me a computer, a brand new damn computer in real life.
We're gonna move on.
Wait, hold on. This is my show. We're gonna move on. Commercial break right now.
Can we have a commercial break right now? Because you know what? I will. I'm trying my best to hold on to my salvation. I'm trying. I really am, sugar. I'm trying with everything in me to hold on to my little salvation. And see, some chicks that may be listening to this may think that they can start pushing up on my brother-in-law, but you try it. You try it. You don't have me to deal with.
You have like 20 wild females on your trail. Don't trust me.
I trust my brother-in-law. I just don't trust the hoes. All right? So that's
there
what I'm
so
saying.
There are so many, yeah. Plus his grandmother,
yeah.
His aunt,
yeah.
Kath, my sisters, my brothers, nah.
I just gave the definition at the beginning, saying that there is resentment and jealousy. I think all that is true, because a lot of grudges, like the more we talk about it, the only theme in everybody's grudge is you hold resentment to yourself. Because
yeah.
With my father, I'm really mad at myself. Those are always tough conversations. But I am really mad at myself and my father, because it's like you spend all this time wondering, what did I do wrong? Where did I go wrong? What did I do? And you beat yourself up so much. No matter what the grudge, whether it's your dad, your mom, your friend
right.
who stole your boo, your friend who cut you off for no dang reason, no matter what it is.
Right.
Excuse me, there's this anger and this resentment against yourself, and you're beating up on yourself constantly so much that you can't, that's where the grudge comes from. You're beating up yourself so much you can't bother, or you can't bear to look at that person anymore, even though it is their fault, and you need to put the fault on them. You need to let them know, because I'm a bottler. And one thing I'm learning
right.
is when you hold in your feelings,
mm-hmm.
on something someone else has done to you, you're actually giving them peace. You're giving them
yeah.
peace. You're giving them their freedom. So instead of
yeah.
you holding it in, you need to say it. Just like, this is a different show, but I'm going to go ahead and put this out there. When you do something to somebody, don't go tell that person. Case in point, you slept with somebody else, and you know you're married and your husband has never done anything bad to you, don't you dare in your whole entire life fool yourself into believing that one time you slept with somebody else, you're helping him by telling him
right.
or her. Don't you
right.
tell yourself that damn lie, because that's you trying to free yourself from the burden that you put yourself in. You better hold that till you go to the grave. That's what you need to do. I know everyone says be honest, but to me, I feel like when you do some shit like that, you're not saying it to be honest. You're saying it to feel free. But that being said, if you have a grudge against someone for something they've done to you, you need to say it so you can be free. Now, most people say when you say it, you let it go. That's not the way my mental works. That's the part I'm trying to learn to get to.
No, no. I don't believe that. I believe when you
but
say
I,
it, you don't let it go. I agree with
and
you.
Me, everything that you think in your mind does not need to come out of your mouth just because it's downstairs. Everything that you register in your brain should not come out through that little across that little pink rug and come out of your lips.
Okay.
That's just something that to just kind of think about. And I've always said this, you know, people have they have a snapshot of what's going to happen or what the reaction is going to be before they actually say what it is that they do or before they actually do what it is that they're thinking. You get a mental before you do it. And then
mm-hmm.
something on the inside of you hypes you up and say, yeah, that's what you need to do. You have your own little cheerleading squad. And you say
mm-hmm.
whatever it is that your mind has fooled you into saying. But see, what mm-hmm. your mind didn't let you know is that the person that you're saying that to or the person that you're holding that grudge to might slap you into next week. They didn't
mm-hmm.
tell you that that was going to come after that because you didn't think about all of that. So some things that you say about you sleeping with somebody or all this honesty, you want to be honest or you want to keep it 100, as people say, I want to keep it real. I want all these coin phrases. You need to sit down. You just need to have yourself a couple of seats and just sit the monkey behind down. Because
what,
you're doing something to try to make sure you're
okay, Paula Deen,
whatever
monkey behind.
Is that you're doing. What?
Don't do it. Don't comfort her. She
didn't
sense
for you.
Monkey behind.
Yeah. I can't say what I really want to say because that would contradict what I was saying all along. You know, I can't, you know, so I make substitutions for what I say. But, yeah. I told you I have
but
my own
life. You know what we didn't talk about? We didn't talk about anger management.
Anger
no, we
management.
Sure.
That's another show.
Yeah,
that's
now
another
we
show.
Need to talk about anger management. Because all I have to say about anger management is very simple. Because it goes along with grudges. Sometimes people who have anger problems, y'all are mad for no reason. Let me tell you why you're mad for no reason. People do stuff to you and get mad. People say stuff to you and you get mad. Do they care? No, because I tell you right now, I'd be the main one to not like somebody and know exactly what to say to piss them off because for some reason people think I'm the nicest person and want to tell me their whole life story the first day I meet them. And I like those people because I can always make up my mind whether or not I still like you. You already told me your life story. That's not my problem. So I know exactly what to say to piss you off. I'm not going to put you on blast in public, but I know what to tell you to piss you off, and you're going to be mad, and I'll be happy because you're giving me the reaction I want, God dang it. So that goes along with grudges. Sometimes with anger, it's really difficult because it's an emotion that it's hard for you to control. But see, that's the issue. At a certain age, you need to learn how to be in control of your emotions to some extent. You can't go off the handle and yell at people and cuss people out and say, oh, I'm sorry, it's because I was mad. If it's because you're mad, then you're not sorry. Don't say I'm sorry because I was mad. Just say I was mad. Don't say you're sorry because you're not, because you're mad. What you need to do is you need to stop and breathe and think before you speak, like we just said. Start thinking about it. Well, stop and think in your head for a second. I'm mad because this person did this to me. Does it make sense for me to go off? Then pause for a beat before you answer yes, because I know me in my head, I will answer right away yes. Pause for a beat before you say yes, it does, or no, it does. I guarantee you, those 10 seconds you take to think about it make a big difference. That explains a lot of the stuff you see on our show Facebook. Go ahead.
I want to ask a question. Maybe you can help me understand this whole thing because, you know, I think there's a bit of a generational gap between you and I. And I understand that there are a lot of phrases that, you know, the younger generation uses that kind of baffle me at times because I'm trying to figure out, even though I understand what the phrase means, I'm still trying to figure out what the what. Why do you even use it?
Right.
I was in my feelings. I mean, I don't understand that one because when you tell me that you're in your feelings, for me, okay. I'm always kind of analyzing stuff and I'm always, you know, forming my own opinion about what this means. If you're in your feelings, this is what I get from that. That means that it's all about me. I'm selfish. I don't care what's in your world. I don't care what's going on with you. I don't. If you're not on my bandwagon, if you're not in my cheering squad, then F you. That's what I get whenever you say I'm in my feelings. Is that true? Is that generally?
I understand that
is
you
that,
and I.
But
are,
I mean,
no,
I'm
answering
asking.
Your question. I'm answering your question. You and I are different generational pools, but I'm gonna tell you like this. That's exactly what the hell it means to me, too. So I'm glad somebody else has seen it. Because a lot of people, when they say they're in their feelings, that's a lot of people's. You have to understand, the younger we get, and this is myself included, because even though I don't tend to say I'm in my feelings, I just tend to say I was mad. The younger we get, you have to understand, the less likely, basically, the younger someone is, the less likely they are to own up to their part in things and other people's part. And how theirs and other people's affected other people. Because, you know, when you're mad, what you say affects other people and what they say affects you. And as a group, you guys can affect a whole lot of other things.
So when they tell you, I'm in my feelings, and then you see them go huddle in a corner, because that's usually what happens, especially on SL. You see them go huddle in a corner, that means I want you to pay attention to me. I want you to drop what you're doing, come pay attention to me. And if you don't drop what you're doing, then F you, you're not on my team. I don't need you to tell me I'm wrong because I'm upset and I can't be wrong when I'm upset. That's exactly what that means to me. Some people like to say, it just means that I need some alone time. If you needed some alone time, you wouldn't say nothing. You just go be by yourself. That's what normal people do. So in my head, I just not so bad. That's what I'm in my feelings means too. Now, if you tell me I'm upset or I'm in my feelings and I want to talk about it later, that makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
Than just,
I can relate to that. I can relate to that. But the reason why I was saying that is because I hear that phrase a lot. And, you know, I hear people throwing that term around loosely. And I want
right
to be clear as to me being
right.
able to understand that. And I understand. Okay, so I'm correct with that. All right, I'm good. Moving on.
That's what
yeah.
you see all up and on SL Facebook. While we're on SL Facebook, let's discuss, because that goes with grudges and anger. Two things that don't go good together is a grudge, and anger problems. Let me tell you why those two don't go together. And no, there's no space left for you to use common sense or even sense period when you have those two together. When you're on Second Life, granted you have feelings for people as family, as friends, like Sugar, I think Sugar would be like my aunt in real life, and not just come disturb her life, and I just love Isis. She makes me feel so unspecial, which makes me feel special. She doesn't mean it. Anyway, I feel like when
I'm not the god,
a lot
mama.
You are. I don't care. I feel like a lot of people, when you're on SL and you get mad, I think a lot of times you need to understand what it is that you're getting mad about. Because a lot
right.
of things people do on SL, believe it or not, you come on this virtual game. Sometimes you want to be yourself, sometimes you want to be somebody else, but why would you come on a virtual game and choose to be mad? Why would you choose to live your life in real life, especially when your life isn't that great? The same way, why would you live it on SL the same way you do in real life? That doesn't make sense.
Because they cray. They cray.
Not because they're in their feelings.
C-R-A-Y, a cray. That's why.
For all the things I see going up and down my feed, my timeline, this person is in their feelings because of this. This person is mad because of this. This one is holding a grudge. Some people then have, I want to go there about the dope awards. I'm going to go there. Some of y'all holding grudges because of a voting
Lord.
System that didn't work out for you. Let me tell you about a voting system that mattered that didn't work out for me. Technically, it wasn't even me. We had a president in the 2000s, and his name was George Bush. That was a voting system that didn't work out for me. That was a voting system that didn't work out for a lot of my family members. So you want to talk about votes that mean something? All right, we talk about that. You want to talk about votes that mean something? We'll talk about why some people still aren't allowed to marry people they love or adopt children, even though they'd be their parents. Why? Because of a voting system. But you want to talk about a voting system, about a virtual game that doesn't really mean much to you? I don't
right.
understand. What are you holding a grudge for? Are you jealous because you couldn't put on a better show? I understand. You wanted someone else to win, but they didn't win. You're disappointed? Okay, vent your disappointment. Keep it moving. There should be no reason why 2 days later you're still mad. What are you mad for?
I think people get mad in Second Life because they want to be able to control something, and they feel that if they have a virtual environment, they can control that. And when it comes to them not being able to control that, I think that's why they get angry.
You see why I don't like her?
I was nominated. You know, NGR was nominated. This track, she was nominated. When they called the women, we didn't get pissed off.
That bomb
I mean, like
all that
husband,
noise.
That is me. I'm sorry.
Is that you?
If you don't, girl,
that
I can't even hear. Go ahead, sure. Lord.
I didn't get mad when I didn't win. I mean, it was fine to me because as my husband said this morning, we're still married. We still love each other. You know, that didn't make our relationship end. You know, so we could care less about you know, about not winning. But, yeah, a lot of people were really, really angry. And I think it's because they want to be in control. You know, everybody wants to be famous in some right, even if it means famous for making clothing, for talk show, for instance, or being the best couple, the best business person. Everybody wants to be recognized. But to me, if you're a hardworking person and you have your family, your friends, your the people who buy your clothes, who really respect you in world, that's all you need. You don't need an award to say that you're the best at what you do. As long as people recognize you that really matter, that really care, that's all that really matters. Because as far as I'm concerned, hey, who I would love maybe, you know, next year to be voted for, you know, the best talk show. But if not, I have my family, I have my friends, I have those that really matter, that listen, that care about me. And that's all that matters. My success is not by a award, a virtual award that you can't put anywhere in your living room or in your house or what have you. My award is when my god baby wants to be on my show, when my sister wants to be on my show, when people actually listen to me, when my grandmother says, hey, baby, what time is the show? That is where my success comes, when people who I love and care about are proud of me. That's where my success comes about, not from an award. And not to put the dope awards down because, hey, for certain people, maybe they need that. Maybe they need that you know, that shine, that glamour in world. Maybe they need that. I personally, it was nice to be nominated, but as far as being winning, it was here or there. I didn't care. I was happy when Peachy won. I was, like, ecstatic. I was happy that someone that I knew won last year. Jennifer Baptista, JB, who's a good friend of mine, she won for her, you know, for her restaurant. So certain people that I heard win, I was really happy to hear that they win, because certain people you're proud to see that. You're proud to go, oh, yeah, I know them. They won, yes. When NGR, I was like, oh, God, I hope NGR wins. When we didn't, I was still happy. I still got my sisters at NGR. I still have that love. I mean, what's going to hate them because we didn't win? God, yeah, I mean, I hate you because we didn't win. I mean, seriously, I think it's a matter of who you are and what you feel is most important, you know. And it was nice to be nominated. But, again, my success comes from those who I love and who I care about. That's where my success comes from.
That's not what you do it for. You don't do it for awards. You do it to get the fulfillment. You do it because you know that that's something that somebody has been on. And somebody NSL or somebody in RL, they're depending on you to be consistent with whatever it is that you started. I say that because it's spinning off of something else and spinning off into something else. A lot of people, they do stuff to get notoriety or to get people's attention. And just like Bomb said, you know, a few minutes ago, when people do stuff to get someone's attention, you know, or they do something to draw attention to themselves, saying, okay, notice me, that's not really what we're on grid for. That's not really what we're in SL for. We're in SL to have fun, but along the way, we've made relationships with folks. We've made connections with people, and there are some people that we hold dear to our heart. So with that being said, there are some people that are depending on you to have your talk shows so that they can come on and they can rant and they can vent and they can say whatever they need to get off their chest.
Right.
How that ties in with grudges, you know, sometimes people can't let go whatever it is because they feel like, you know, it should have been me. And when you have a voting system that is for the people, by the people, you can't control people and their votes. You can't control what a person says. It's the same thing as with politics. You don't go behind that curtain. Yeah, they may say that they're on your team. They may be Democratic or they may be Republican. But behind that curtain, you never really know. That's something that they hold in secret. So you can't really say, oh, I got this locked, or oh, I got this in the bag. Watch, they're going to call my name. And when they don't call your name, you sit there and say, what? I didn't win. What you mean I ain't win? That was rigged, or oh, that was not the way it was supposed to go down, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. And you crying over something that you have no control over. That wasn't
something that you had control over. And there was I don't know which Fred won. I apologize, I don't remember which Fred won. Sorry. I had someone just dying.
But regardless, sorority one, you know, you put into whatever your organization is, and you don't do it to be nominated or to win an award. You don't do it for that. Because if that were the case, whatever your organization is, your organization or your fraternity is going to be as strong as what your level of perception is. I am so glad that NGR is so far removed from what people think about us. We're on another level.
Exactly.
That may be what some other people are on right now, but, you know, that's not where we are. I'm pretty sure that TNT is far removed from what people think about them because they're doing other things. They're not concerned about that. So, you know, having said all of that,
so
these are organizations that are moving past,
you know,
this
high
side
the same way. They're not looking
right
to be, you know, that's just the way it is. I mean, like I said, it's nice to be nominated. That's all well and good, but, you know, like I was saying with the frat that when someone typed out "fuck them," and I was thinking, how disrespectful!
Wow.
How disrespectful! How, you know, really, you're gonna say that? I thought that was just so ignorant to do that. I mean, even if you're angry, keep that to yourself. Keep that to yourself.
Wow. But, you know, that just lets you know at the end of the day, no matter what you do, whether it's good or whether it's something that, you know, is not so good, people are always going to have a perception of you. They're going to always, feel some type of way, and you're never going to satisfy them. So why try? Just go ahead and make yourself happy. I just wanted to say this, that, you know, people who let go of grudges, they have healthier relationships. They have greater spiritual and psychological well-being. They're less stressed, and they're less hostile. They even have a lower blood pressure reading than most people who are angry or who always, you know, have some type of issues going on. There are also fewer symptoms of depression, and they even have lower risk of real-life alcohol and substance abuse. So these are things that are research-based. And I know that whenever people hold grudges, it's for a reason or it's for something that they've concocted to be rational, and that's the reason why they do that. But, you know, getting back to the nuts and bolts of the reason why we even talked about this is because people hold grudges for various reasons. And I realize that when you form an opinion of a person and you hold a grudge against them for no apparent reason at all, to me, I have an issue with that, because you haven't become, you know, common with that person. And I realize that common sense isn't common to everyone, but whenever you do something, make sure that there's a rationale behind why you do what you do or why you say what you say. I just don't understand how you just say, oh, I'm in my feelings and I don't like you and I'm not going to deal with you because I'm in my feelings. You know, to me, just like the definition that I gave to Bomb, and she co-signed and she let me know that I wasn't too far off. You know, in my rational thinking of what that meant, saying, you know, this is my party and it's all about me, and if you don't want to come, F you. You know what I'm saying? And to me, I feel like that is the most disrespectful, that is the most selfish, that is the most unrealistic reason to hold a grudge that I've ever heard of, that I've ever seen of, you know, and it happens. You know, you have a lot of stuff that happens, and I can't, you know, make heads or tails of it. But like I said, I'm not here to fix your life, boo-boo. But Dineva, funky Dineva is. Oh, my goodness. Girl, no tea, no shade. I'm going to tell you. Yes, God. That is my hero, funky Dineva. If y'all don't know who that is, and I just put this plug out there because I would love to have him on the show. You know I'm funky Dineva.
Lord.
You remember
oh,
the,
God. This has been an interesting topic. We're going to have to probably do a part two of this because this was, my God, baby got knocked off. And then once you're off air, you can't call back into the hostess because everything basically is blanked out because we're on recording. You guys will hear all this once we're finished. But this has been a really, really good show. Isis, I think we definitely need to do a part two on this one.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, come Thursday, remember the Paula Deen show. Isis will be here with me, and we're going to see if, you know, what your take is on this. Do you think she should be fired? Do you think that that maybe she's not as racist as the media is putting her out to be? Maybe it's a little bit over the top. I also want to talk about Dog the Bounty Hunter, who was also heard being saying the N-word, as well as Michael Richards, the one, I don't know if anybody remembers this, it was in 2006. When he made the, he was really over the top of racist on a stand-up. Michael Richards, if anybody doesn't remember him, he's Kramer from Seinfeld. I'm going to talk about a little bit about that as well. So we're going to be heading out to bed. I need to go eat. Everybody, as always, thank you so much for listening to me as I rant and rave, and thank you so much for listening to my guests. Thank both of my guests for coming on. Isis, my goddaughter, Bomb Bomb, I really appreciate it. Everyone, if you have something that you want us to talk about or you want to hear about, let me know. SugarliciousMe@yahoo.com or SugarliciousNunceStatic with two C's on the static on Facebook. I'll be more than happy to discuss anything that you, as long as it's not too racy and too, like, out of this world, because I got to have my little break somewhere. You know, this is a children's show, goddammit. Anyway, Isis, thanks again for coming. Everyone, mwah, say goodbye.
Oh, goodbye.
I'll make music to numb your brain.
Maybach music.
Ride the way. New young love the beat in the box. Breezy tonic, fresh like rain. My beat man's cool, he's the freakiest box. Bang a fox hanging on my coat, rock singing on my chain. And that's how you know I've been hunting the game. Bang bang, and I hit it with impeccable aim. Bang bang, and I blow it out. They don't know what's up, but they think for a second that I do it for the fame. Cause I make music to numb your brain.
By the weapon.